right now, Stephen Brunt. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, boys. How are you? Home safe and sound. Glad to hear.
Home safe and sound, full of chowder and lobster and all that, and booze, but liver outside disease, of that, yeah.
I didn't even get the gout.
No gout.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's early.
We were told with all the seafood and booze and that, you get gout. But
yeah, which is not a good thing.
No, it's not great.
No, it's best to avoid that. I didn't know it was a seafood thing, but there you go. I just knew the other part. So
you know what? I think it's a bit of a mystery. I think everybody, it's red wine and it's red meat and it's seafood and it's
definitely booze.
It's booze, yeah. And
I think it just sucks.
Yeah, no, I've known people who've suffered from that ailment. And I don't think because they were had complete debauched lifestyles. So innocent people can get it as well. I guess that's the point.
Debauched. Yeah, there's a little bit of debauchery going on these days.
Can I just get clarified? So you're going to do the show, because next Tuesday is when I will return to the show, of course.
That's right.
And you're going to do it from the airport?
That's the plan.
How's that going to happen? Because you can't, do it on 3 cell phones, right? So how would you do that?
It's a great question, yeah. Steve. We've elected not to ask in the hopes that it all falls apart and we don't have to do it.
Yeah, I could see that. That I could see.
Wait a minute. You guys can't do the show here. Oh, okay.
Okay. Make that a 20-ouncer.
And then Jason will be hosting the show next door, which will be all right.
That'll be just fine. Well, I look forward to Tuesday. So a little bit of mystery is a good thing in life.
We should really talk a lot today, just in case.
Yeah.
Might be the last time we hear from you in a while.
That's fine.
Don't say anything time sensitive. We're going to need to rerun this, I think.
Yeah. We were talking earlier in the show about Marcus Stroman, and he went to Twitter after losing his arbitration case, and he said, basically saying, not happy with what the team had to say, but I got thick skin, and I'm going to go out and kill it this year, except you can tell he was offended by it. I guess I never even thought, I don't even know what he was offering or what he was trying to get in arbitration. Should he have won his arbitration case? And if you say you have thick skin, doesn't that mean you don't have thick skin?
Well, yeah, arbitration is pretty... Most guys, there was a time back in the day when, players would be in their own arbitration hearings. And the way the baseball system works is that the team puts one number up and the player and his agent put another number up, and the arbitrator has to choose one or the other. You can't saw it off. And usually it's not a huge difference, right? Because it's all kind of, these things are kind of measurable. But, and part of what the team has to say is he is not worth that higher amount of money because of X, Y, and Z. There was kind of conventional wisdom 15, 20 years ago that you didn't want to do that to a player if you could help it, because you didn't want him in the room hearing you saying, he's not as good as he thinks he is, and that could ruin long-term relationships. And if you had ever had to deal with him as a free agent down the road, or were trying to extend them, they might not be as willing to do it, etc. But as far as I know, no one believes that anymore, because players are pretty professional about it, agents are professional about it, everybody understands this is how the system works, and the players are generally not in the hearing, so. It's, Aaron Sanchez just, quote, lost, unquote, his arbitration hearing. He didn't hear a peep about it because, if you choose to go to arbitration, one of the two possible outcomes is you can lose. But it's not, it's not kind of career defining. You're going to make as much money as you're going to make based on who you are. Baseball players are eligible for their 4, 5, and 6 generally, unless they're a super two, generally 4, 5, and 6, and then they go to free agency. So everybody gets it. But Stroman, and I take nothing away. He's a great, great pitcher. And he has, turned himself into, there were doubts about him because he's small of stature. And the theory is that, especially starting pitchers, you want tall guys, downhill playing on the pitch, all of that stuff. It's harder to have kind of a repeatable delivery if you're a smaller guy, and smaller guys tend to become relief pitchers. And Stroman is obviously not. He's the number one starter for the team. He was the big star in the World Baseball Classic last year. He's one of the great young players in baseball. But, he's one of those guys that's got to be me against the world. And I guess it works for him. It obviously works for him. He's taken that position with the media, you know, long before this arbitration hearing, that he essentially didn't talk to the press last year. I don't know that anybody's ever said anything terrible about him in the media. I think they've generally been pretty positive, because why would you not be positive about a guy who's had a great career already to this point? Toronto baseball media is not that tough. There's no cheap shots. There's, you know, he, again, he had some personal beefs with, well, one specific guy who is no longer on our baseball broadcasts. So, but I think that's kind of him, right? He needs to work himself up into a lather and say, nobody loves me, and that's part of how he is motivated. I can't argue with it working, because it's worked. But, you know, in terms of this, the arbitration thing, it's business, right? That's how the system works, and it's not personal. And his agent would have told him that, and everyone would have told him that. So, I guess he showed up at spring. Well, he reported with everybody else on Wednesday, but yesterday declined to speak to the media. He probably declined to speak to the media for all of spring training. That's him. That's what floats his boat, and can't argue with the results. But from our point of view, we have a job to do as well. It's good if we can talk to people. We're not mean. And I'm not totally sure what he's upset about.
Jaime Garcia, the five. What does the rotation look like to you? Because it's done now, right?
Yeah, it's done now. You know, they had their choice. The way the market is kind of shaken down, there were a bunch of guys who they could. They had about $10 million left to spend. So they've got a couple of million left. They might throw that at a backup catcher. I don't know. Or they might just go with Luke Maley. Or they might promote a guy like Danny Jansen. But I don't think so yet. All these guys are kind of the same. They're either bounce back guys like Chris Tillman, you know, or guys like Cashner, who signed with Baltimore. He got two guaranteed years. Garcia only gets one guaranteed year. You know, they were trying to pay as little as possible to get a guy who is a legitimate major league starter. He doesn't have to be a front of the rotation guy. He's kind of a depth guy, so they don't have to have Joe Biagini in that slot, which means either Biagini will start in Buffalo or he'll be in the bullpen. So they didn't really want him as their five. Now, the truth is, you know, in most normal major league seasons, teams use seven or eight starters because guys get hurt in a terrible season. I think the Angels, 2 years ago, used 16 guys.
Ooh.
So you hope that doesn't happen, and if that happens, your season's pretty much screwed. So if you get kind of into double digits with starters, things are going badly. But Garcia's a guy who, you know, can throw 180 innings. He's a lefty. He's a ground ball guy. Didn't have a great year last year, but, you know, the fact that he was acquired by two other teams last year, he moved around, tells you that he's viewed as kind of a solid, you know, solid back of the rotation guy, which and at the right price. So it could have been him. I don't think they weren't going to spend the money for a better guy, because they didn't want the term. They want to be free next year, where they could be in a very, you know, a different situation. So not a ton of commitment, a lot of money in, you know, real world terms, but not massive money in baseball terms. Gives them some flexibility. Guys should be durable, and it gives you a nice lefty righty balance in the rotation. So yeah, it's exactly the kind. It's not going to make anybody crazily excited. It's not like they went out and signed Jake Arrieta, but where the team is this year, we're going to be talking a lot about the rotation and a lot about the rotation's health, because that's where their chances to be good are. Especially with you know, the guy we were just talking about, Stroman, and Sanchez coming back, you know, and then you've got three solid veteran guys behind him, two of whom are lefties. So it's that, you know, these are your 2018 Toronto Blue Jays, and that rotation on paper to me is as good as any other rotation in the American League East. You know, the rest of it, some things are going to have to happen, but I think that's a pretty darn good rotation.
Any sense on Jake Arrieta and what's happening there with him?
No, Cubs going with Darvish. I think everybody would have thought that once one of those guys signed, the other guy would sign. But it's been the spring training has begun. Look at how many guys are still out there.
I know.
You know, the guys. If you looked at the list of the top 50 free agents before we got into the off season. You know, are 30 of them still out there? Probably. It's just, yeah, the sea has, there's been a sea change. And I don't think, as much as I'm quite happy to blame the owners for collusion, because they did it before and that was wrong and they got punished for it, I actually don't think this is collusion. I just think it's everybody lining up with the same numbers and the same kind of analysis and evaluating guys the same way in terms of, you know, value for money and value for money at a certain age. I think everybody's kind of thinking the same way. And that, you know, there, people don't want to drop huge dough on guys going into their late 30s anymore. It just, there's all kinds of reasons to think that's a bad idea.
Now, there's a ton of big names. JD Martinez, yep. Arrieta, Hosmer, Moustakas, Holland. How have we seen something like this before, or is this why agents are losing their minds? Like, cause
yeah,
it is.
This is, you know, Scott Boras can yell at everybody all he wants and say collusion, collusion, collusion. But, you know, aside from collusion, the collusion years, no, we have not seen anything like this before. But, you know, I think teams are wising up to what, you know, that we're back with guys having a normal aging curve now that we, you know, they've largely cleaned up PEDs. So you don't have guys having crazy breakout years at age 37, and they don't, you know, there's some production tails off. You know, Jose Bautista tailed off at a time when normal humans used to tail off, you know, before they started using all those drugs. So that's, and you know, the guys are looking at dead, you know, there's nobody willing, you know, there used to be kind of that sense that teams like the Yankees didn't matter, right? They would just spend. And if they had dead money on the books, didn't matter. They could still do it. But no one's doing that anymore. You know, everybody is kind of, you know, there's some big payroll teams, but there, you know, there are a few that want to go into luxury tax territory, and everybody is wary of having, you know, dead money on the books, having a, you know, a Sandoval contract on the books, or, you know, even having a guy like, you know, Albert Pujols, the worst contract in history. Yeah. You know, a Hall of Fame player, but boy, would you want to be paying him now, the kind of money he's paying now, to be the worst player, position player in the majors? So, I just think everybody is kind of wised up, and you know the market has kind of corrected. I think a bunch of agents were telling their players, you know, don't worry, you're going to get X, Y, or Z. Sort of like what happened with Edwin Encarnacion.
I was going to say, yeah,
you know, and that was the beginning of it. But now, you know, now you're seeing it, you know, right across the board. Like, you know, JD Martinez, Hosmer, those are the two best position players in free agency. Neither one of those guys have signed. Arrieta is at worst the second best starter that was in the free agent pool. He hasn't signed. There's going to be an adjustment here at some point. Those guys are going to have to play baseball, and it's, you know, it's a buyer's market right now.
Does that affect Donaldson's theoretical negotiations, seeing a bunch of guys in their 30s with power not getting paid?
It should. You know, if his agent's telling him the truth, it should be, that should be a calculation where you look around, because, you know, it's pretty hard to look at what's happened this year and say, well, it's not going to happen to me. You know, and there's other guys, you know, obviously it's going to be that crazy free agent class too, and Machado's going to be out there, and Harper, and a bunch of guys. So there's going to be, you know, guys who are younger than him are going to demand. So he would be one of those, if we can't get A, we'll take him. I just know, you know, it's funny, the Jays' position on this, I don't know if you've been reading this, but Ross Atkins has said, you know, essentially, we have a number. We would love him to be a Jay for the rest of his career, but we have a number, and that's what we're going to offer him. Our evaluation says this is what he's worth. And, you know, for a player, that's a tricky one. You wait your whole career to become a free agent. You know, he's a late bloomer, so it's happening quite late for him. He has had become a superstar in Toronto. But do you take a number, you know, because I'm sure the Jay's number is not the one he dreams of. But do you take that and kind of hedge against what the market is going to do? Or do you say, no, this is my one shot. I got to get every nickel I can, and, you know, and risk being one of these guys who's sitting there tapping their toes waiting next year. It's a tough one. Look, I never blame athletes for getting every dollar they can, because careers are short, and, you know, loyalty is, you know, it's not a two-way street. So it's, you know, that's not a good way to run your life as a professional athlete, as a marketing the commodity that you are as a professional athlete. You should get paid. But there are guys having to make choices now that, you know, a different kind of choice than they would have had to make 2-3 years ago even.
Steven, have a great week.
Yes, sir.
Weekend. And let's call it 50-50. That we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Well, I will be, I look forward to it. Don't mess with those airport security people.
I know.
If they tell you to stop doing, you know, to put that stuff away, I would advise you to do that.
They won't get an argument from us.
Yeah, I don't think they will. I think you may be pining for that. I have a sense.
You mean stop doing the show?
Well, no, not stop doing the show, but just maybe for that. Anyway, I'm going to be in LA next week, so maybe, you know. as of Wednesday.
Really?
Hey, what's going on?
Why don't you grab the chopper and just hop over?
Yeah.
Close by. It's a short drive.
It is.
Rain Man Suite.
Maybe, so, yeah, maybe in person on Friday morning. I'll see how
that
goes.
That'd be good.
Well, we're not set to be there Friday, but we'll stay. If you're coming, we'll stay.
Will you stay? That'd be great.
We'll stay. Thanks, Stephen.